Hello all and welcome once again to the Golf Shape podcast. You join us on season 2, episode 17. My name is Ryan Rastall, PGA professional at Howley Hall Golf Club in Leeds and also equipment expert for golfshape.com. I'm joined ably and as usual by Mr. Matt Holbrook. Matt, how the heck are you?
Good evening, Ryan. I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Actually been out on the golf course today, so I'm feeling all right.
We're gonna talk about that in a second, but no, I'm good, mate. I'm good. I've played some golf. Weather's turning down here. It's been quite nice. I actually played golf in shorts and t-shirt for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, it was lovely today. Actually playing golf, it was boiling, absolutely boiling. So
yeah, but more on that.
Didn't need the 3 layers that I put on before I went today, but yeah, it was good.
No, and it's half time in the football. Arsenal winning 3-0. So, as far as Tuesday evenings go.
Yeah, they're all right now. Now the pressure's off them, mate. They can play again.
Well, I think they've still got to do their bit, haven't they? Because you just don't know in this game. Football's funny. Football's a funny old game.
It certainly is. It was very funny watching Richarlison celebrate at the weekend, only for Jota to go at the other end and score. It was wonderful.
That was crazy.
That was very, very funny.
Let's not alienate any of our listeners.
No, well, unless they're Spurs fans.
Imagine if they're all Spurs fans and all just swishing off now.
I imagine, yeah. Imagine they are. I'm sure they'll be sending plenty of messages in telling us that we're wrong, but never mind, and telling us that Jota should have been sent off and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, enough about football. That's not what we're here for, is it? We've got lots of golf to talk about. I mean, for starters, let's talk a bit about what's gone on the various tours. So, PGA Tour, did you watch much of this over the weekend, mate?
No, do you know, it was funny this weekend. I actually didn't watch too much golf. I did see I did see a bit on Saturday night.
Rahm went ballistic, didn't he, on Saturday?
He did, yeah. But I'll be honest, we got into a Netflix, me and the wife got into a Netflix.
Netflix and chill evening.
Yeah, on Sunday, well, we started watching the Night Agent.
Shut us down.
I know we're swerving away from golf again, but we started watching the Night Agent.
Oh, it's good. I watched all that.
Yeah, really, really good. So we had about three.
Yeah, anyone looking for a Netflix series, The Night Agent, I can very, very heartily recommend it. It's very good.
Yeah. So we watched that on Sunday night, actually, instead of the golf.
Wow.
You got to get brownie points every now and then. No. Smart man.
Yeah. That means you're going to ask her to play in some sort of golf tournament coming up, and you're just trying to butter her up, aren't you?
Well, I'm playing 2 Bank Holiday Mondays in a row. I'm playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday this weekend. So I
worked this past bank holiday, so yesterday, and it was absolutely bonkers at the golf club. Just so busy.
Yeah.
So busy. I got there at 6:45 in the morning and left at about the same time at night. It was absolutely ridiculous. Just wall to wall people playing golf, which is great. Don't get me wrong. It was
good for business.
Yeah. God. Yeah. It was decent. Yeah. Really good start to the month, to be honest. And yeah, April wasn't a great month for us really in the shop and that. It was okay, but certainly down on last year. But you know, the start of May just seems to have. You know, it's like a bomb's gone off at the golf club. There's just people there all the time. So, yeah.
It's so weather-dependent, though, as well, because I was looking at, I use, apps on my phone, and you get, memories come up, and I look at the golf course this time last year compared to what it's like now. And I actually think last year, April was pretty dry, so everybody had already been out on the golf course at this point, where I think this year, the dry weather's just come a little bit later.
The course, I would say the courses up here are probably ahead of where they normally are this time of year, but the greens are still not great.
Yeah.
They're okay, don't get me wrong. They're all right for this time of year, but like I say, they're probably a month away from being decent. Mm. It's obviously nice to see. Everywhere just looks so green, doesn't it? Because it's actually fairly warm temperature-wise, but we've had a bit of rain as well, so it's been very, very good for growing grass, I suppose.
Evidently, it's very good for growing rough. That's what I've found yesterday.
I think I was having this conversation with someone the other day. I almost think golf courses play their toughest at this time of year because the rough is pretty thick and pretty juicy and wet in it, and the courses are generally playing a little bit longer because the fairways haven't firmed up enough for you to get much run yet, and you know, the greens aren't amazing, so you're not holding as many putts as you probably normally would. So yeah, I mean it's tough, very tough.
Unless you've done at aim point.
Well,
I think you do hole putts.
Some of the greens I've played on in the last few weeks, it doesn't matter if you were the best aim pointer in the world, you wouldn't have been able to read some of them. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, they're just bouncing everywhere. But anyway, enough of my golf. Let's talk about what's gone on proper golf. So Tony Finau, what a performance that was. I mean, holding off John Rahm. Rahm obviously looked, he shot amazing score Saturday, which we've already talked about, but was kind of pushing him all the way on the Sunday as well. Never really got close enough to, I think, make Tony kind of have a wobble or anything. But, you know, when you've got the best player in the world and a guy that's in the sort of form John Rahm's in second place, you can't help but see his name on the leaderboard and worry, I suppose.
Yeah, actually, on a course that yields a lot of birdies, I mean, we just said off air a minute ago, John Rahm went a bit mad, didn't he, on the Saturday and shot 10 under, but, Finau only shot 4 under in the final round, and it was enough, and that just shows how good he was, I think, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, to put himself in that position. But those two are just exchanging first and second places now, aren't they? Because that was the reverse of the result last year.
Yeah, and you know, Rahm obviously loves that golf course. It's somewhere that he can see himself playing well on a lot, and he certainly has done, and he's kind of earned himself, I think, a week off this week, hasn't he? Yeah, so we've got, again, another elevated event this week in the Wells Fargo, and Rahm's not playing that one, so that's the one he's elected not to play in. And I think he deserves a rest after the the golf he's played in the last, probably month. And I'm sure he probably wants to get home and chill out and lay in his green jacket for a little while.
Yeah, brilliant.
But yeah, Finau was awesome, and he's, he's fast becoming almost a regular winner now on tour, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
And after it's mad.
That guy who was always the bridesmaid, wasn't he? And kind of failed to get over the line a few times when he was in amazing positions. He's now a prolific winner, really. And
I think it's like 5 wins in his last 42 starts.
Well, that's brilliant. So what's he won? 7 in total then, yeah? Is that right?
I don't know if it's 6 in total. I don't know if that 5 includes his second win, because it was a long time coming, wasn't it, when he won?
To win that many times, whether it's 6 or 7, that's unbelievable on the PGA Tour, isn't it? I think the next thing for him is obviously trying to push that a little bit further and maybe win a major, isn't it? And, he's up there in the world rankings now. I mean, not that the world rankings actually mean anything anymore, but he's up there and sort of performing well, and he's going to be a mainstay in the Ryder Cup team for the US. And he's obviously a fantastic player, and he's great to watch as well. And any of you that watch the Netflix Full Swing documentary as well will know he's just such a great guy as well, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, he's.
Really very great,
yeah. He's very grounded as well, isn't he? Didn't have the best. Well, not I wouldn't say the best, but he didn't have a fantastic upbringing in terms of wealth and stuff.
Didn't grow up at a golf club like a lot of kids do. He kind of went at it the hard way, I suppose. Not that it's ever easy to get on the PGA Tour and win, but. Certainly he wasn't as privileged, if you like, as some people are. He works hard. He seems like a lovely guy, loves his family, spends some time at home. And I don't, those of you that are kind of regulars on social media would have seen there was that thing with him caddying for his kids literally 4 hours later on the par 3 course, wasn't there? And they were playing a few holes while he was carrying the bag for them. So that, I think that kind of is the measure of the man, really, isn't it? It's very, very good. So over this, it wasn't really anywhere near here, but DP World Tour was in Korea this week. Pablo Larrazabal won his 8th DP World Tour title there. in fairly impressive fashion on the back nine. In what has to be said was very tough conditions for the 4 days. Scoring wasn't unbelievable. There were some shockers in there. It was a bit windy at times, and it looked quite a tough golf course as well. But Larrathabal is a prolific winner on tour, and maybe someone who hasn't quite pushed on to that next level as well. You know, he's never played in the Ryder Cup and things like that. He's that sort of guy that I think would be great to have in a Ryder Cup team, but he's just never quite got there. And you think someone who's won 8 times is you think they would have got quite close to getting in the Ryder Cup team at one stage, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think he's not quite a journeyman, is he? He's kind of better than that,
he's got so many. I mean, he's generally not particularly good off the tee.
No, he's admitted he's not long, is he? You've got guys that are
not long, but he's quite wild as well.
Yeah,
short and wild is not a good combination. But his short game and his putting are unbelievable. Like up there with the best out there for me. I mean, every time I watch him, I'm in awe of the way he gets it up and down around the greens and the bunker shots he plays and the putts he holds. He's just magic, absolutely magic.
I thought Yannick Paul was going to do it for me, didn't I? After I put £2.50,
didn't he?
He was. I think it was one back on after the first round, tied to the lead on the second round, but yeah, then he just bummed out on me really and shot loads over the weekend and finished.
Which is easily done in those conditions by the look of it, to be honest. So he's not done too bad.
But he gave it a bit of excitement for me for a few days anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you were planning your next holiday with your winnings, weren't you? I think at one stage.
It was only about £70, I think.
It wasn't too bad. We also had back-to-back weeks on LIV as well, so over in Singapore, which is not a million miles away from where the DP World was this week. So back-to-back wins for the first time. Taylor Gooch took down Sergio in a playoff, actually, which very, very good. So the 18th, the course they played over there in Singapore was par 5, water all the way up the left and kind of crossed in around the green as well. And very impressive way. The sort of line he took off the tee in the playoff was, I don't know whether it was lucky. It kind of looked like it cleared the water by about 2 yards. But then he's hit this just awesome fairway wood in there. I think it was a 3-wood or a 4-wood or something. Middle of the green, 2 putts. See you later, Sergio. It was a very, very impressive way to win twice in 2 weeks on LIV, which, as we all know, is going to mean that you've won a heck of a lot of money. Very, very impressive performance by Gooch. And it was good to see Sergio playing well as well, to be honest. I mean, he looked like he was swinging it lovely, was holding some putts, and yeah, it just looked almost like the Sergio of old, really. Brooks was up there again. Cam Smith didn't do too badly either. So it was just a really, really good event and well-supported event. But we were speaking off air. The one thing I wanted to talk about, this really nice story concerning a player on LIV called Scott Vincent, who... you and I were lucky enough to be invited to the Pro-Am at Slaley, weren't we, to play in that, which was an Asian Tour event last year. Was it last year? It was last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was the year before.
Yeah, potentially. I thought it was right at the start of last year. So, Scott Vincent won that event, which got him on to... LIV.
Sorry, just for clarity, right? So we played in the it was the grand final of the Euro Pro Tour.
Was
the Pro-Am. So I don't know whether you went back up there, but
I went up there and played in the Asian Tour event that was there. And went up and yeah, he won that. Earned himself a spot through that on LIV. Has played steadily, finished 4th in Singapore, which means he's 24th in the standings now on LIV. He's obviously picked up a nice amount of money for that and means that he's kept his card for the foreseeable future really on there as well, which is just amazing story and a kind of pathway for a player who, you know, playing the Asian tour, which is still a great tour, don't get me wrong, and but by no means a kind of you know, a big name in the world of golf, now has managed to find his way on to live and making a decent living and, you know, traveling the world, which is just a fantastic story, really. And, you know, we've got, I think, a little break now, maybe for a week, and there's another event on, I think, the week after that back over in the US. So, yeah, I think we're in for another decent time watching that. I know you hate watching golf through apps and stuff like that, but I actually don't mind it at all. And to be honest, it's the only way I actually get to watch golf at the moment. So, yeah, it's kind of a way that I'm quite happy to consume golf content. I've normally just got it on in the background while I'm doing something else as well, to be honest. It's just kind of on my phone or my iPad while I'm either watching TV or doing some work on my laptop or something like that. But I know you're a sit in front of the TV and put it on kind of guy, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I do like the big screen.
Yeah. So we had the LA Championships on the LPGA as well, with Hannah Green winning there fairly impressively as well, to be honest. And we've got quite a quirky event this week. It's a very different event, isn't it? Do you want to talk about it a little bit, Matt? Because I know you've kind of had a look into this, haven't you?
Yeah, so I did. So it's... I'll start by saying, right, I'm not an absolute expert on this, but having read a couple of articles about it and heard a bit of chat about it, it's different, right? So it's a team event. It's called the International Crown.
Is it new? Yeah, a new event.
No. So this is fourth. I think this is the fourth edition.
Right. Okay. I do watch a fair bit of ladies golf, but wasn't aware of this tournament at all.
Yeah. So basically, there's eight teams of four players, and they're all representing their own country.
Cool.
So you've got, for example, I mean, the United States team of Nelly Korda, Lexi Thompson, is it Lilia Vu and Danielle Kang?
Well, they're going to take some beating, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty strong. But, you know, you go down and you start looking at... Sweden, for example.
They're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Maya Stark, Madeline Sagstrom, Anna Nordqvist, and Caroline Hedwall.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the English team did have Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull.
Yeah, I saw that they'd pulled out.
Yeah, they've pulled out, but it's still strong. Jodie Hewitt, Shadoff, Bronte Law, Alice Houston, and Liv Young. The Jutanagons
pretty damn good as well. Yeah.
Yeah. The Jutanagon sisters are playing for Thailand with Titical and Tavakanik. Oh, Patty. That's what I'm going to call it. I just don't want to butcher surnames. But look, there's strength, right? So you've got the four teams and they play eight teams.
What's the format? How does it work?
Yeah. So the format is, I'm going to kind of read a bit of this as we go as well, but basically the format is they're in two pools to start with of four teams.
And yeah, you can read, Matt, actually.
Yeah, believe it or not. And it's basically it's four ball competition on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And the top two teams from each pool will advance into Sunday. But this is where it gets interesting, right? So they kind of mix it up for the semi-finals. So the two semi-final matches that are played on Sunday morning, each semi-final will consist of two singles matches and one foursomes match. And then the winning semi-finalists obviously will go on to play in the final on Sunday afternoon. And both the format for the final will be the same for the semi-final. So you've got that mix of kind of singles and foursomes kind of at the same time, which I think is, you know, it's good. It's, you know, it's going to be interesting to, watch it. And obviously then I don't know if there's team captains and who decides who's going to play singles, who's going to play foursomes. But the website, if you go on the LPGA website, it's got all the information on there, but, I'm hoping there's some good coverage because I like the sound of this. And I think it's good to see different formats. And like I say, this is not new, right? So I almost feel guilty that I haven't seen this before, because it does look good in it. And as I say, they've been doing it for, I think this is the fourth year. So yeah, so hopefully it's
cool. Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting, to be honest. And I'm all up for different formats and different types of events. Yeah. So yeah.
So it is technically each country's team is filled by the four highest ranked players.
Okay.
So yeah, so if anyone does drop out, then I believe they would just go down to the next highest ranked player.
Sounds very, very good.
Yeah.
So over on the DP World, they're coming a little bit closer to home. They're back to Europe now. So in Italy this week for the DS Automobiles Italian Open at Marco Simone Golf Club, where obviously we're going to have the Ryder Cup later on this year. And as you would expect, the field is fairly strong, isn't it? Yeah, we've got a lot of European hopefuls in there, that some guys that are looking at kind of catching Luke Donald's eye, I suppose, and hopefully getting their name as one of his captain's picks for later on this year. It's a golf course that looks very, very good. It looks quite tough. It looks quite long. Have you got any kind of picks that you think this week, mate? I know Yannick Paul done you dirty last week. Do you think he might actually play well?
Yeah, so I'm not going with him again.
You're not going with him again?
No, so what I don't know is if this golf course, I don't know what the conditions are going to be like. So I expect when they have the Ryder Cup, I expect the rough to be up, for example. Yeah. I expect it to be playing pretty tough. You look at the past winners of this event. You've got people like Robert McIntyre, Nicola Højgaard, Bernd Wiesberger, Ross McGowan won. But that was a different golf course. If I'm going to pick, I'm almost going to go with a home guy this week and pick Giulio Migliozzi.
Okay.
Because I do think he hits that crazy three irony stingery shot, doesn't he? And I just think if it is one that we're finding fairways and keeping it in play is going to be key. It wouldn't surprise me to see a home victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be hard pushed to go against McIntyre as well, because I mean, it looked like he's coming back to form and played quite nicely last week, although didn't obviously get over the finish line. Has kind of put some nice performances in, hasn't he? And he's obviously going back to a golf course where he'll have some fairly nice memories and feelings, and it's one that you could see him doing well at, and certainly it's a way of him, you know, maybe getting himself towards the Ryder Cup team is prove that you're awesome around that golf course, isn't it? Because you almost pick yourself then, don't you? So,
I look at when you look at the players that are playing this week, you know, like Victor Perez jumps out at me straight away as somebody that, you know, people have talked a lot about.
Yeah.
But in terms of these guys that are kind of, you know, on the edge a little bit of, you know, someone's going to have a run at this Ryder Cup team between now and the event. And it's almost going to come out of nowhere. And you're looking at people like Thorbjørn Olesen, who's played Ryder Cup before.
Yeah, I was just going to say him. I mean, yeah, he's obviously very, very talented. Adrian Ortega's another one, I think.
I was going to say, both the Spanish guys on that page there, Jorge Campillo.
Maronk, I think, is a, you know, he's a very good player and can chuck some good rounds in. Cabrera Bello has been good at times this year, kind of featured. Antoine Rosner is a very, very good ball striker and a good player.
Both the Højgaards.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they're both brilliant, aren't they?
It'd be interesting to see. I'm just going to quickly look at the tee times actually and see who, because I noticed that Luke Donald and Thomas Bjorn are both in the field. I'd be interested to see who Luke Donald is going with, Callum Hill and Victor Perez.
Okay.
So you're looking at, I'm looking at Victor Perez this week thinking, you know, yeah, I mean, he really want to have a good week.
Isn't he? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You reckon he's going to do it then, do you?
No, I'm going to stick with Migo.
Migliozzi. Okay. I'm going to go. I reckon Bobby McIntyre's going to win. So
yeah.
What's who I'm going with?
I just I don't like going with defending champions. And obviously Bobby McIntyre did win this event last year.
I'm going with him for that, and the fact that I thought he played quite nicely last week, and he's kind of going in the right direction. I think that's I suppose he's the easy choice.
Yeah,
the one that he's won last time. So maybe I should pick somebody else then, Matt. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm saying you go with that pick. Okay. No, you stand up for what you believe in. All right. Don't let anyone tell you anything different.
I want Daniel Gavins to have a good week, and Marcus as well.
Yeah.
Marcus more so. Not that I don't want Dan to do well, but he had quite a decent finish last week and Marcus really needs it. So, come on, Marcus. You can do
Come on, Marcus.
Come on, Marcus. Go on the bullet. We spoke about it earlier, but over the other side of the pond, Wells Fargo, elevated event, and we're actually going to see Rory McIlroy for the first time since the Masters. So
we are.
I've not actually seen any media around this event. Has he done any interviews yet? Has he kind of answered any questions about?
I haven't seen any. And you know that he's going to get asked the questions. And I think he just needs to front up and say, I needed some time away. I take the fine that's coming my way.
I mean, no one would hold it against him. I mean, he's literally under so much pressure.
Yeah.
And he didn't play how he wanted to play at the Masters and missed the cut. It's very similar to the way I thought. Like, you know, when they had the Open at Port Rush and everyone thought he was walking, didn't they? And he ended up missing the cut. But it reminded me a bit of that. It's almost like I'm sure he puts enough pressure on himself as well, but it feels like there's just so much added pressure on him that I just wish people would just leave him alone and he would just crack on and win probably.
Yeah. I think he almost cares too much, doesn't he? That's his problem.
How do you not do that
though? No, well, I know. It's a difficult thing, you know.
He's so talented.
Yeah. I feel the same way when we've got a monthly medal. Do you know what I mean? I don't sleep the night before because I'm thinking about, you know, what it means to me. And then ultimately, you're not intentionally putting yourself under pressure, but you know, without even realizing it, you're probably putting yourself under pressure. But
yeah, you do.
I do agree. I think the last, you know, since the, you know, all the stuff with Liv, I think he's become that spokesperson, isn't he, and the one that people are looking towards, and the leader of men on the PGA Tour. And whilst that's great, I don't think it's doing him any favors. I think he probably realises that it's having a knock-on effect to his game and his preparation. You know, I don't agree maybe with some people's take that he kind of wants to do it. And he, you know, like he's going to go to a press conference and he's going to get asked a question. And I think he just wants to do the right thing by answering. And if he was to say, look, I'm not answering that, stop answering questions, then people are going to look at him in a different way. And you know, he's almost stuck in between a rock and a hard place, I think, in terms of what's best for him. But let's see what happens, because he's had some time away, would have reflected, I'm sure, and hopefully ready to go low.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope he does. And, it, you know, he's obviously played well around that golf course before at Quail Hollow. So, I mean, I think he's won there three times, hasn't he?
Yeah, including a major.
Yeah, which is, pretty impressive. But, I mean, I've been looking at who I think is going to do quite well. I know this is a person that you kind of favour quite heavily a lot of the time, but I think Max Homer is another one that I think is good around there. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't do well. Have you got any other picks? This is a massive event, elevated event again. The field's going to be strong, apart from the fact Rahm's not there. And
no Scottie Scheffler either.
Scheffler's on the weekend, because I saw that. Yeah, so those two aren't there, just to give everyone else a chance.
Yeah.
Who do you think out of the sort of next
these ones are tough to pick. I'm gonna go Jordan Spieth, because I think he's been playing well enough since the Masters. Or even before the Masters. I think he's been playing well enough.
I think that's a good pick. I think it's a golf course that you can, greens are quite big and you can kind of get on a bit of a roll with putting around there, I think. And, he's that sort of man, isn't he? And short game's obviously a massive, plus for anyone, but his is so good that if you do miss some of the greens around there, that you can get up and down quite easily.
Yeah, but it's like these stacked fields where you look down the list and you think, who could win? Rory, yes. Patrick Cantlay, yes. Xander Schauffele, yes. Max Fitzpatrick, yes. Homer, yes. Spieth, yes. Finau, Hovland, Burns, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Cam Young. You even go down to your Sung Jae-ims, your Tyrrell Hattons, your Tom Kings. You wouldn't be surprised if any of those guys won. It's going to be another good week, I think. I'm hoping to, I should get to watch a bit this weekend, which would be nice.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I always enjoy watching golf from there. It's a good event, isn't it?
And it is.
I mean, like I say, this week is stacked. So we've obviously got the ladies event that you spoke about. We've got the Ryder Cup course being used, and we've got Wells Fargo with an elevated event. So we've got plenty to be watching this week. What about your own golf then, mate? So the world's best aside, what are you going to be doing in the next 7 days? And what have you been doing in the previous 7? I know you've got something you want to talk about in terms of your foray into mixed golf. So do you want to start with that?
I can do. So as we spoke about last week on the podcast, yesterday, so we're recording this Tuesday. So yesterday, Bank Holiday Monday, I played in my very first mixed competition. And I played with the lovely Annie. And in terms of the result, it's definitely one that got away from us. But it was a mixed greensomes competition. So greensomes, for anyone that doesn't know, is very similar to foursomes in the sense that you play alternate shots. But in greensomes, you both tee off and you pick the best ball from there.
Yep.
And then you go alternate from there. So out of the 18 holes, we used Annie's tee shot twice. And that was both times for me was where I lost balls. One was just in the rough. We just couldn't find it. The rough was fairly thick. And another one was off the first tee. Three times, I should say, we used Annie's tee shot because we also started to think about our tactics on the par fives. So we've only got two par fives. But this is what I found interesting, right? And I thought it was very eye-opening for me playing in a competition like this because we had to decide, I'm obviously hitting it a lot further off the tee than what Annie was. But then when it come to the second shots on the par five, was it worth me getting us closer to the green? Or was it worth Annie hitting mine and potentially us being a little bit further back? It was, looking back now, it was interesting to look, kind of think about the choices that we had to make sometimes. It was, we don't know if we did the right thing, but ultimately we managed 34 points. We finished 6th or 7th, but the winners had 35, so there was 4 pairs on.
Oh right, so you weren't far away.
No, so and we actually had 34 with a blob. We blobbed our easiest or one of our easiest holes, but it wasn't just about where Annie so for Annie, what was quite interesting for her was she was hitting second shots from places that she never hit second shots from before. But because of the length and because of the, I don't want to say ability, right, but Annie doesn't hit the ball very far. She's, she falls into the senior category, for example, and she plays off 22. So on a lot of par fours, for example, getting on in 3 is ideal for her. So even though I was hitting good tee shots, she was then hitting shots a lot further down the fairway, but they were still probably out of reach for her in terms of getting it close to the green. But we did okay. It was good fun. It's definitely something that I think I would like to do again. We were the strongest pair in terms of the handicap. I don't know how they work it out for Greensons, but it's like 60% of.
I don't know how this is worth it anymore with these new systems.
It's well, I think in theory, it's pretty much the same, but it's at like 40% of the lowest and 60% of the highest.
It's just more complicated.
Yeah. So for me, in theory, I was getting, you know, for me getting 13 shots felt really, really strange, but for Annie, it must have felt really difficult getting 13 shots. Mm. But we were on handicap allowance. We were, I think, the strongest team in the field by 3 or 4 shots as well.
Okay.
So the pressure was on, but yeah, it was good. It's good fun. And also, and I mean this with absolute no disrespect, right? But there are, in this game, there are levels. And I think when you've got, so the other pair we played with, their combined handicap allowance was like 33. But what happens is, I'm trying to say this without causing any disrespect, right? But I don't think there's an easy way of doing it. So I'm just going to say it. It was great for my golf self-esteem. When I hit a 7-iron slightly fat and it carried about 135 yards, they were in awe because it went up in the air. It still went quite far. You know, and I got a lot of, I think they was impressed playing with someone.
Yeah.
I guess level that I'm at, you know?
Yeah. As crazy as golf is, you tend to stick and play with people around the similar abilities all the time, don't you? And you don't.
Yeah, you do.
And sometimes it'll be because you've kind of progressed together and kind of got better at a similar rate, and kind of you get your regular group of friends that you play with and all that kind of stuff. But it is great. I always find this whenever I play pro-ams, you know, so you get to play with people, and particularly with some of the ones you play in where the handicaps are now up to like 18 and 24. Certainly like levels, like you say, that you don't normally kind of watch that level of golf when you're playing. And it is quite eye-opening, I suppose. And, you know, I find it quite good, from a coaching perspective, because you can very quickly save people lots of shots around a golf course because they just make such bad decisions. And trying to help them with that aspect of the game, I find quite interesting when I'm playing pro-ams with people. But yeah, I mean, you know, you'll see it at club level as well. If you do get mixed up in tournaments and competitions, yeah, those people will be like, oh, Jesus, I didn't realise you could hit a golf ball like that. And, you know, they've never seen someone strike from a 7-9 before.
I reflected on this last night as well, because for as much as it must be nice for them to see me hit the ball in the way that I can do, it served for me as a good reminder, and it kind of keeps me grounded. And I think it's good for me to kind of actually look at it and think, do you know what? You're actually pretty decent at golf. I haven't been playing that great in the last few weeks. You know, I haven't put any decent scores on the board. So you kind of give yourself a bit of a hard time, but it's nice to stand back and think, yeah, do you know what? Like, you are playing to a very good standard. It's not easy to maintain that standard.
I say this a lot to people that I coach, and it is very easy in this game to get very down on yourself and your ability. But, you know, a lot of us is because our standards are so high, isn't it? And you kind of expect to hit perfect golf shots all the time because you know you can do. But, you know, the best players in the world don't do that. So you've got to be realistic with your expectations. And we're all guilty of running away with ourselves. And, you know, like I say, I played the first round of golf that I played in England today. And, you know, I absolutely wasn't expecting anything particularly great. And I didn't really play that fantastic, but I didn't play awful. I mean, I scored all right. But it was certainly nothing special. Very, very rusty, I would say. But I enjoyed it massively. It was good to sort of get out there, play a full round of golf and competitively with a card in your hand and, you know, knowing that you've got to make a score. It's very different to just nudging it around 9 holes with your mates. You know what I mean? It's very, very different game.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say as well is the other couple that played with us, I do know of them. I know of them pretty well. And the lady in this couple has only recently just taken up golf. And she's definitely got the bug. She actually hits the ball very well off the tee, but on our first hole, a par five, she actually chipped in for par, which was for them was worth 4 points.
Nice.
And the jubilation on her face was just quite refreshing. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, we all, you know, maybe, I don't know, as you get better, you might hole a few more chips here and there. You might hole shots from a bit further, you know, bit more of a distance. But yeah, it was good to see somebody kind of that's been caught by the golf bug. You know, she might now go another year, 18 months without chipping in again, but yeah. It was nice to, yeah. And they ended up par in the second, so they had like 7 points in the first.
Oh my God.
In the first 2 hours.
What chance have we got?
Here we go. But no, it was good fun. But then it got me thinking on to, you know, with this this LPGA event this week with the match play, the foursomes and the singles and the greensomes yesterday, you know, got me thinking, like, you know, what is your favourite format? What do you enjoy playing? Do we play enough different events? It was refreshing for me yesterday knowing that whatever I did, it wasn't going to have an effect on my handicap. Whereas every time I play normally, you know, I've got that extra pressure on myself for handicap purpose. So that was nice as well. But yeah, just, you know, different formats. I mean, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to play different formats. I mean, everything I play, obviously, as a pro is stroke play. But, and it's boring at times. I don't mind it, because it's just what you expect, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we do have Stableford's in pro-ams, which are obviously a bonus sometimes. But I absolutely love a Texas Scramble, you know.
Yeah,
I just love being able to stand there with a driver and just smash it and not, you know, and not be that bothered about what happens after that. Which you just can't in professional tournaments, you just never do. Do you know what I mean? Never stand there and just obliterate one without thinking about it, because you know, you're worried about where it's going to go. So
I've got a Texas Scramble on Monday, next Monday, the bank holiday. And it's only my second ever Texas Scramble that I've played in.
Oh, really?
It's, imagine, I've been playing golf for, 15 years probably now? And I've only ever played in one Texas Scramble.
I remember playing one when I was a kid at Sleaford, and there was four of us that were kind of all less than four handicap, I think. And we shot an absolutely ridiculous Texas Scramble score, I think. I can't remember how many under we were, but I think we were something like 21 under or something, 22 under. Absolutely crazy, but it was...
I bet you still didn't win.
I think we did, yeah. Because we obviously had, even though we were that low a handicap, we had some shots to come off as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we eagled all the par fives, but yeah, birdied. Yeah. So, it was a pretty good score.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just loved it. It was just fun. Few of you could nudge one down the fairway while the other three just absolutely just went to town on the driver and tried to get it as far down there as you could.
Yeah. I find club golf is almost, you know, so I love medal, right? I make no secrets about the fact that I just find it the ultimate test of golf, and it's, you know, and so I do love a medal, but I also do think that we kind of overpopulated with, you know, it's either medal, Stableford's or match play at club level. And I'll be honest, match play is not my favourite thing. I find it a ball ache before you've even got to the golf club in trying to organise matches, especially if it's pairs and stuff, and who can play what days and when. And I generally just try to avoid it.
Yeah, I don't miss that sort of stuff, to be honest.
No. But I did also want to share, so my golf club that I was previously a member at, in their winter league, basically you entered as a pair, and instead of going into a knockout format, which I know the majority of golf clubs I know would do. They did like an 8-week league or a league format over, I think there was maybe 10 events over 10 weekends, where every weekend in your pair, you played a different format of competition. And then they just awarded league points for, it was like 16 points for first down to 1 point for 16th. And each week was a different format, but it was designed to be fun, right? So the first thing they did, they said it's pick and place anywhere on the golf course, which made it twice as good, because when it was thick mud and horrible and wet in the winter, people were still happy to go and play. But we would do, so you do the normal kind of combined Stableford or Better Ball Stableford, combined Stableford, Better Ball medal. But combined medal, you could see friendships get ruined. Then you do, you know, bogey, or you do three clubs and a putter, you do scramble. And it was just a different format each week, and it just made it really, really fun. And then after the league finished, then the top 16 went into a more serious knockout. And I have to be honest, I missed that. I missed doing those kind of fun formats, those different formats as well.
It does become, I mean, at Howley in the summer, it just becomes death by medal every single week. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it must get so frustrating for some of the members at the club, because you've just got so many of the kind of board competitions to fit in, and they're all medal. Do you know what I mean? And Saturday is the competition day. It just seems like we play about 65 medals in a row at Howley, but it's just, unfortunately, that's the way, that's the format those tournaments have always been played in. So that's the way they always are played. Do you know what I mean? Or whether it's maybe time to, you know, think of making some of them a Stableford, or maybe some of them a match play or a knockout. I don't know. Or thinking of some other way of doing it. I'm not sure. But I mean, it'd be interesting to find out from the listeners, really, in terms of, is there any particular format you absolutely hate? Do you turn up to the golf club and, you know, if it's a medal or if it's a Stableford or, I don't know, foursomes. I mean, we have a foursomes tournament at Howley, and some of the members absolutely hate it. But I enjoy foursomes, always have done, but it's not everyone's cup of tea, and I get that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what some of you think about the different formats that comps are in. Or have you got any ideas for what can change? And you know, do you think you should alternate it each week so you never have the same format, you know, twice in a row? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I suppose it's all about trying to enjoy it at the end of the day, isn't it? And you're trying to make the majority happy, and at a golf club that can be very, very difficult to do, can't it?
As it's impossible.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting as well to hear what your favourite format of playing golf is amongst all of you, and particular tournaments at your golf clubs that you enjoy. So yeah, let us know that as well. It'd be great to hear.
Yeah, it will. It will. So what's happening this week? Have you
this week?
You playing again?
I am, actually. I'm playing on Thursday. So I think it's at Lancaster Golf Club in an alumni day for university. So I'm playing with four of my friends, one of which is a professional, the other two aren't. But yeah, it's a team. I think it's just like a best two from four kind of Stableford event. So again, that's one that should be quite good fun. So going up there and then going to... So when I was at university, they used to have like an awards dinner at the end of the year. So we're going to that afterwards as well. So seeing all the students picking up their awards for what they've won in golf for the year. So that should be quite good. Have a few drinks and meet up with some people that I haven't seen for a long time. So yeah, it should be really decent.
Nice. Sounds good.
I've got quite a bit of golf coming up now, you know. So yeah, I've got that. I've got a qualifier for the Club Professionals Championship next week, I think. And then I'm playing in a TGI event at Hollinwell, actually, the week after that, which
I've
played before and I've heard is amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played, but I only ever hear good things.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's coming thick and fast now, mate.
Good.
What about you?
Yeah, so other than my mixed comp yesterday, I played, I was at Brockett Hall last week.
That looked good, actually. I saw some of the pictures you put on. It looked decent.
Yeah.
A little ferry that you have to get across from the fairway to the
beach. Yeah, it's really quirky, actually. It was... So the full feature will be on Golf Shake, hopefully at some point this week for both courses. So we played both courses there. They've got the Melbourne and the Palmerston course, two different courses. And I do like that when you get a venue or a piece of land that are able to kind of design two golf courses that kind of feel completely different. So the Melbourne, which is the one, with the kind of manor house in the background, and it plays over this this lake, comes into it about five or six holes as well. And it's really quite cool. So it's like a lake and the river, and you've got these two fairways that run either side of the river. And then at the end of the fairways, you've got two greens. But you play down one side of the river, and then you hit across the river to a green on the opposite side. And then the other side, you do the same. So you've got these like these kind of crossover second shots, which is quite funky. And then, yeah, the 18th for you is a par five where you hit your second shot over water. Just for absolute clarity, I hit an absolutely perfect tee shot on that 18th hole. And I had about 220 to carry the water. Wind was off the right. But I was on a bit of a downhill lie, hit a free wood, caught it fat, which ended up laying up. So I was able to chip it over, but missed the green, didn't get up and down. But that's neither here or there. But yeah, so instead of walking around this lake, you get on this little kind of ferry boat thing. It takes probably about a minute or so to cross. It just pressed the button. It's automated. So you press a button, and the minute you press it, it starts moving. So you have to press it and jump on it pretty quickly. And it, yeah, just takes you across. Get off the other side. You press the button to send it back for the next golfers. But that was fun. So that course is fairly open as well. Whereas the other course, probably more of a golfer's course, in the sense that you have to plot your way around. It's tree lined, so you can't be too wayward off the tee. Very quirky in places as well. So yeah, really really good. Good spot for golf, actually. So did that, and then this week, as I say, so I'm actually going to get up tomorrow morning. I've got a tee time booked 6:20 tomorrow morning. So luckily, I've got a meeting that I need to be at home for 10:30 tomorrow. So I've got a window to get up and play in the morning, and then I'm playing going back to Felixstowe again, which I love so much, on Friday, and then yeah, just Saturday, Sunday, and then the Texas Scramble Monday. For the Coronation Texas Scramble, I think this one is.
Yeah, we've got a we've got a, it's not a Texas Scramble, we've got like a Coronation Medal, I think it actually is, on Monday. But it's one that kind of, I don't know if it's the same at your club, but can ladies play in the main competitions and stuff at your place or not? Is there separate ladies competitions, or how does it work?
There's some. So there is
this one and the one in the, I think there's another bank holiday, isn't there, at the end of
May. Is it 29th, that's right.
Yeah, so those two competitions are going to be open to anyone in the club to play in the same tournament. So that's pretty exciting for us as well. Yeah. It's very different for Howley, to be fair, and very progressive, which I quite like. It's really good and sort of embracing different tournaments. So yes, I'm looking forward to that, actually, and hopefully some of the ladies will get involved with playing in the main medal competition on Monday. So yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a busy one, to be honest, a busy weekend. And Saturday, even though the coronation's on, is absolutely packed at the golf club. I think we've got something like 200 people booked in the comp. So
yeah, well, fingers crossed for the weather as well. I think it's
hopefully it should be good. So yeah, it's another busy week in golf, and hopefully all of you guys listening will be able to get out there and play some golf yourselves. And if not, certainly get to the driving range or just get on social media and ask me and Matt loads of questions ready for next week's podcast. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you all next week.
Goodbye.